This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Friday is upon us. I can feel it. I can almost smell it. I can definitely taste it. Whatever Friday tastes like, Usually it tastes like some, actually that's not true. I was going to say it tastes like fresh cooking, but sometimes Friday is more of a leftover day. It depends on how I feel. This weekend coming up is my first weekend off in 5 weeks. So I'm pretty excited to have Friday and Saturday to be able to get some stuff done around the house and just generally be a bum. It's going to be a bummy weekend. I hope that you have some fun weekend plans. If not, feel free to be a bum with me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Colin Kaepernick priced himself out of the football market. We'll get to that story coming up in 15 minutes here on the show. And also, I hope that you had a great Valentine's Day. I had a bit of a traumatic day. Actually, my zoo had a bit of a traumatic Thursday, so it kind of consumed my efforts on Valentine's Day. I did see a lot of your tweets and your Facebook posts, so thank you for that. But I'll have to tell you about my Thursday because you've not lived until you have carried 3 pets around in one car in rush hour multiple times over the course of one day. So much fun. I can't even describe it, but I'm going to try. So we have all of that ahead here on the show, in addition to our latest Hall of Fame induction. If you don't know what this is, strap in, enjoy the ride. It's one of my favorite things that we do on After Hours. And essentially, you just need your ears and then your social media. So we're going to give you 4 different samples of audio, and you need to choose the one that you believe should be the latest, the greatest, the newest, and the bluest inductee to the After Hours Hall of Fame. Yes, so good. It's back, the After Hours Hall of Fame. And this is your first opportunity to hear the audio. Now, keep in mind, you have to vote. You have 2 ways that you can do so. On our show Twitter, there will be a poll. We make it nice and neat with 4 separate candidates. So on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, take the poll, or you can weigh in with your answer on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And this is Dave's first official Hall of Fame. Of course, we all will vote along with you. And before the end of the show, we will let you know who's been inducted into the After Hours Hall of Immortalization. We've got 4 great pieces of audio, and while we were talking about the Warriors just moments ago with our insider from Charlotte, I was asking him whether or not KD has declared a ceasefire with the media and how the relationship between KD and Draymond is. It's been one kind of dramatic season for Kevin Durant, and a lot of it boiled over a week ago when he finally broke his silence with the media.
Let us play basketball. That's all I'm saying. And now when I don't want to talk to y'all, it's a problem with me. Come on, man. Grow up. Grow up. Yeah, you, grow up. Come on, bro. I come in here and go to work every day. I don't cause no problems. I play the right way. Well, I try to play the right way. I try to be the best player I can be every possession. What's the problem? What am I doing to y'all? So, who are you? Why do I got to talk to you? Tell me. Is that going to help me do my job better? Nah, bro. I didn't feel like talking.
I didn't feel like talking until I felt like talking, and then I just needed to tell you how I felt about all your questions regarding my future. So, yeah, but Kevin Durant is a guy who, not that long ago, beginning of his career in Oklahoma City, actually won an award for being the most cooperative and genteel with the media. So that era has passed. Grow up. Grow up. Yeah, you. Grow up. Kevin Durant, who is actually already in the Hall of Fame with Russell Westbrook. If you've never heard that montage, it goes back to their days when they were playing in the postseason as teammates. They were Batman and Robin with the Thunder. Those were the days. We'll stay in the world of basketball for our second After Hours Hall of Fame candidate, Joel Embiid. I mean, make up your mind. Is it your fault or is it someone else's fault?
I'm an idiot. Should have kicked it out or take it out or shoot it. I didn't think about the situation and us not having the timeout. I thought we had one, and then as soon as I shot it, I looked and I was like, I'm stupid. But like I said, that's on me. I need to do a better job. And do right for your suck.
Wait, 1 minute. I'm an idiot. I'm stupid. I gotta do a better job. That's on me. Oh, the referees bleeping suck. Yeah, so which is it? Is it one or is it the other? Because I'm not sure. Well, I guess they don't have to be mutually exclusive. Joel Embiid was frustrated with himself for taking a put back in a situation where his team was down by three against the Celtics and they needed a triple, not a layup. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Shifting our focus in the After Hours Hall of Fame to the world of football. It's a moment that Dee Ford may never forget, and it was caught on tape. So you remember AFC Championship game against the Patriots. 54 million people tuned in to see how this game would play out. And the Chiefs thought they had Brady and the Pats on the ropes. Oh, wait, they did actually have Brady and the Pats on the ropes until Dee Ford lined up offsides and negated an interception thrown by Brady.
They said I was lined up offsides. Was I?
Oh, no. I love NFL films. I love sound effects. I love these incredible mics that capture these moments. Dee Ford on tape. Dee Ford's reaction is so authentic. You will not get anything else like this. Yes. Yes, in fact, you were. Oh, my gosh. I can't even imagine. I know it's been a few weeks now, and the Patriots have gone on. They've won the Super Bowl. But maybe that makes it worse for Dee Ford because they had an interception. That game was likely about to be controlled and clock run out by the Chiefs. Oh, I still feel it for you, Dee. However, it's Tom Brady and the New England Patriots who are Super Bowl champions. And you remember after Dee Ford's infamous offsides penalty, the Patriots went home as AFC champs and they held a massive rally, a send-off to Atlanta with all of their fans at Gillette Stadium.
Let's let them hear it all the way down to Atlanta. We're still here. Yeah. We're still here. Yeah. We're still here. We're still here. We're still here.
Oh, all right. Oh, yeah.
It's cringeworthy. Let's just be honest. Tom Brady yelling, "We're still here," and leading chants of all the thousands of fans at Gillette Stadium. It's cringeworthy. No. Except, of course, they were validated by winning Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta. So, yes, in fact, we're still here. So who is it? Is it Kevin Durant? A petulant Kevin Durant, if you will. Is it Joel Embiid who snuck in a finger point at the refs with some salty language? Is it Dee Ford caught on tape? Or is it Tom Brady and his mic drop after one of the worst pep rally chants I've ever heard? Those are the four candidates for the After Hours Hall of Fame. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter. We just retweeted that, so you have the poll in multiple places, or you can check it out on Facebook. I'm sure there will be accompanying pictures, because that's what producer Chris is really good at, one of the things. So either on Twitter or Facebook, our phone number is 855-212-4227 if you need to register your vote via a phone call. I'm sure that everyone would be happy to accommodate you. Straight ahead, while we're waiting for you to compile your vote, straight ahead, Colin Kaepernick had an opportunity to return to the football field, but made it impossible. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That music. The NFL Films music. It puts you right back in the middle of football season, huh? Well, the AAF is coming up again this weekend. Are you excited? So it's NBA All-Star Weekend. It's also the AAF with four more games, right? So there's eight teams. They play every weekend for the next 10 weeks. Well, for the next nine. And CBS Sports Network as well as NFL Network will be carrying games this weekend. So coming up on Saturday, Legion Field. How about that? In Birmingham, Trent Richardson and the Iron will try to go 2-0 as they host the Salt Lake Stallions. And of course, that's cool, too, because Richardson's a former Alabama star, and they already had a shutout to start off their AAF campaign. That's one of your games coming up this weekend. And then also on Saturday, the Arizona Hotshots at the Memphis Express. Plus Sunday, the Orlando Apollo, Steve Spurrier, and the San Antonio Commanders, the Atlanta Legends at the San Diego Fleet. So one game on TNT on Saturday. And then a pair of games on NFL Network and another on CBS Sports Network. So I will be interested. I know the ratings won't be nearly as high as what they were for last Saturday night, the debut on CBS, because that was big CBS. And people are more likely to be flipping through channels and encountering football on big CBS than they are to just be flipping through channels and realize that there's AAF games on the NFL Network or CBS Sports Network. Those are not even carried in everybody's cable package. You have to have special tiers for them in a lot of cases. But you can also watch on CBS All Access at TNT. That's one of my favorite weekend channels, especially when it's carrying a Star Wars marathon. They do frequent Star Wars marathons there. So the week two AAF ratings, I think, will be interesting. This particular run, right, these 10 weeks may not depend so much on ratings because of everything else that's going on. The buzz about the league, the support it's got from former NFL veterans, longtime head coaches, just in general, the novelty of it all. But they've got to be able to sustain a business model at some point. So they need to gauge how much interest there is. Now, some of that will be dependent upon ticket sales. And they're playing primarily at college stadiums. And so as long as the ticket sales and the gate is strong, then likely the league can survive. I've seen some predictions, though. Even Dan Orlovsky, who's a good friend of mine, who is a former NFL QB, of course, spent over a decade in the league. He's been on the show a bunch. He's a college and NFL analyst now. He says the league won't survive past 2020. Just that the model's not sustainable. The quarterback play is not as good. So we'll see. We'll see how week two does among football fans. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you toll-free by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at Geico.com. We're taking your votes for the latest Hall of Fame induction. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, some good photos up on our Facebook page. And this is going to be, I think, a fun one. Judging by the early results, it may go down to the wire. So you want to cast your vote. And we'll let you hear the audio again, and you can weigh it up through the end of the show. So you can do that on our social media, or you can give us a call. Now, I promised you this story, the details of Colin Kaepernick, who priced himself out of a return to football. Safe to say, if Kaepernick was playing in the AAF, people would be tuned in droves. for a couple of reasons. Number one, there's this, I would say, growing sentiment that he's been blackballed by the NFL. The fact that he's suing the league under its CBA to try to get the whole labor agreement thrown out. He's trying to prove collusion. Gosh, it feels like he's been doing that forever. And so it's inching forward like most lawsuits and legal action does. But the idea that he has become this lightning rod, this poster child for social injustice and creating change, drawing attention to things like police brutality. It's mixed, I think it's juxtaposed with some of the pop culture. It's become juxtaposed with some of the appearances that he's made, some of the ways in which he's become this pop culture icon. Okay, so it's not necessarily everything that Colin Kaepernick stands for, but his persona and his cause and his plight, as some see it, have almost gotten larger than life, so to speak. Think about the Nike commercial, the fight back and forth about using him as the spokesperson for that very powerful commercial. Whether or not you like Colin Kaepernick, that commercial that Nike released about overcoming odds and the different athletes that they featured in it. So here's Colin Kaepernick, who would likely bring millions of extra eyeballs to the AAF. And presumably, he wants to get back into football. Now, I have heard some in the NFL community debate about whether or not he wants to get back into football. That at this point, that may not even be the most important thing to him. It's not the goal. But we haven't actually heard from Kaepernick. At times we hear that he's working out. Other times we hear that his agent is still attempting to find opportunities. But he doesn't say a whole lot about it. So come to find out, from the co-founder of the AAF, they did speak with Kaepernick about joining their league. Now, the two names are Bill Polian, who's a Football Hall of Famer from his time with the Colts and just around the NFL, everything he's done as an architect of teams and also just a policies. An incredible man. I worked with him at my former network. He is one of the co-founders. The other is the CEO, Charlie Ebersol. Now, according to Bill Polian, Ebersol reached out to Kaepernick, wanted to talk to him about playing in the AAF. Polian told The Athletic, quote, "I don't know what transpired, but he's obviously not playing." According to the Associated Press, here's why he's not playing. He wanted at least $20 million to play with the AAF. He priced himself out. The league can absolutely not afford that. None of these teams can afford that. And that's not their business model. If you missed it last week, we went over this a couple of times. Every single player in the AAF on all eight teams, they're all playing under three-year, $250,000 contracts. Non-guaranteed contracts, so similar to the NFL. But if you accrue 1 year and then 2 years, if you reach incentives, there are bonuses. But not $20 million worth of bonuses. $20 million. Exactly where was the AAF supposed to get that kind of money? And are you kidding me? I don't know Kaepernick personally, but if he really wanted to play football, wouldn't you think he would ask for money that was reasonable? Because this is not. This is not the NFL. It's not even a league associated with the NFL, which means it doesn't have the NFL pocketbook behind it. The AAF's entire mission is essentially to provide a platform and an opportunity for players who are not in the NFL to continue their careers or to showcase their abilities so that if there are scouts watching, which I'm sure there are, NFL teams are smart. They're looking everywhere for the next big thing. NFL teams are watching and could see some of these guys and think, you know what? We'll give them a shot in camp. We'll give them a contract, see what they can do. We'll bring them on a practice squad. But $20 million? I don't know what kind of financial shape Colin Kaepernick's in. He made millions when he was in the NFL, of course. And he's made a lot of money in endorsements since he stopped playing, since he opted out of his contract with the Niners. Remember, he left the Niners. He had another year left on his deal, and he left. He wanted something different. But $20 million for a league that's paying its athletes $250,000 for 3 years. Divide that by three. Even without your calculator, that's not $20 million. That's outrageous. And so it's pretty obvious that Kaepernick didn't want to play there all that bad. Now, whether or not you believe that the NFL will ever offer him another opportunity, the more years go by without him playing football, the less likely it becomes that he's going to get a legit job offer. Certainly not a starting position at this point, because people don't know, the NFL doesn't know if he can still play the position. Heavens, there was some debate over whether or not he could be the long-term starter when he was in the NFL. Remember, he's very specific skill set. There were times when he excelled, and there were times when he struggled with basic reads and basic throws. That's not a revelation. If you watched him, you know that. He wasn't a fit for every team. But $20 million? What do you want to do? You want to play football or you want to be a big star? You want to play football or you want to be the center of attention? Now, would he bring a lot more eyeballs? Sure. But do those eyeballs translate automatically into $20 million? No. He priced himself out. I don't know if Tim Tebow made any type of financial demand, but Polian told The Athletic he personally spoke to Tebow about joining the AAF, but he declined, not because of money, but because he's in Mets spring training camp. So he's still committed to his baseball career. This was eye-opening for me. And it's just, I'm speaking from my perspective, not Colin's. I'm not speaking for Colin. But it seems to me if you really want to play football again, then you don't give a fledgling league a price tag that's impossible to meet. A-Law Radio is where you can find me on Twitter. Take our Hall of Fame poll. If you haven't heard the audio, well, you can go back to the podcast as soon as it's posted. But also, we'll play that audio for you again in our final hour. Facebook page two. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. We'll get your call straight ahead. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We are ready.
Bingo's
opening play. San Antonio on Woodside from the gun to get the party started, and it is caught. That's Mikhail McKay, who everyone on the San Antonio coaching staff, guys, has been talking about, a pickup of 22 to get it going.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Spiro Ditas with the call on CBS, the very first snap of the fledgling AAF season. That was last weekend. Coming up, there's a game on TNT Saturday, two games on NFL Network, and another game on CBS Sports Network. And it's really cool, I think, to hear the reaction around the league. It's not just fans of football. From inside the NFL community, you've heard a lot of people this past week applauding the efforts of the AAF and also excited about the potential with this league as it runs through its first 10 weeks. Bill Polian was a guest on Sirius NFL radio, Sirius XM NFL radio, excuse me. He's the co-founder, longtime executive with the Indianapolis Colts. He's a Pro Football Hall of Famer, and he reacts to opening weekend.
You're always nervous when you're opening a new endeavor, whether it be a new season in the NFL or a new league here. It's a new endeavor for me in that regard. But we had numerous practices in training camp, and we had four preseason games, which were not open to the public in San Antonio the week before. And so I felt as good as I've ever felt going into an opener that we were going to have good football, because in the preseason game, the guys played hard. They played efficiently. They played well in practice in San Antonio in training camp. They played very well. If you looked at the practices, granted, there was no Tom Brady. There was no Peyton Manning. But other than that, you couldn't tell that it was any different than an NFL practice, size-wise, athleticism, et cetera.
Bill Polian, co-founder of the AAF, reacting to opening weekend with week two now on the horizon. And again, it's in a good spot because there is no regular season NBA. You've got a golf tournament that's not resonating. We're not talking about a major. You are still, I would say, midway through conference play in college hoops, so you're still pre-March Madness. NHL is regular season. There's a nice void here where the AAF can step in and try to gain some momentum, but it will be without Colin Kaepernick because he reportedly wanted at least $20 million. That was the phrase used by the Associated Press. At least $20 million in a league that's paying its athletes the same across the board, $250,000 for 3 years. 855-212-4227. Mike is listening in Reading, Pennsylvania. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, yeah, I just wanted, I supported Kaepernick when he was in the NFL, when he did his thing, but I really think he purposely priced himself out of this league in fear that he would be exposed, that he couldn't play, and maybe that was the reason he wasn't playing in the NFL anymore.
Well, do you believe it? Agree with it?
I just think he would have had a great platform to go into that league and show he could play, and show that would have helped his case for the NFL blackballing him if he came in and showed that he was a really good quarterback. You know, because some people think that it's not the NFL blackballing him, that he just simply can't play anymore.
Well, I think it's a mixture of things, Mike. I mean, I don't think that every NFL team out there is blackballing him. The Seattle Seahawks brought him in or tried to bring him in more than once for a workout. There were other teams that had talked about potentially bringing him in. But the longer he goes without playing football, the harder it is to imagine him stepping into a void. Now, it's one thing to bring him in for training camp, but there are all kinds of other things. He's suing the league. I mean, I don't know if I decided to sue CBS, how quickly do you think I would still have a job here as a talk show host? So, there are a lot of other things, but that is definitely a question mark. He hasn't played since 2016. We don't know whether or not, and teams don't know whether or not he can step right in and start playing again.
Absolutely. I just think he should have taken this opportunity, played for whatever they're paying them, and shown that he could still play.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. If you really want to play football, if that's what you're about, you're not about your profile, you're not about your Q rating, you're not about the money, and maybe he needs the money. Still, I mean, just the whole idea, if you really want to play football, here was an opportunity.
Absolutely.
All right, Mike, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sean is listening in Atlanta. Sean, welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning, Amy. Forgive me, I have a cold, stuffy nose. Can barely breathe or talk. But
I can hear you just fine.
Okay. I think y'all are taking it too serious. I agree a little bit with the previous caller. He priced himself out of the league, but we don't know the context, and I don't know the context of how he said $20 million. He probably said it like, you know, there's no way I'm playing in that league. Give me $20 million. Yeah, right. I'm not playing in the league. I don't think he feels it's worth it to play in the league because he probably feels no NFL team will ever bring him in to play and sign him to a contract. So why put his body and all of that through all the practices and his health? And I don't think he probably doesn't even want to play anymore. And I disagree with the caller, though. I think he still is or was in 2016 if they just let him play a good quarterback. But I don't think he's serious about playing in that league. If I was him, I wouldn't play in that league either for $70,000 for him. Yeah, he know he will not get signed in the NFL. I don't take it serious like he should take the contract in the AAF. I don't think it's worth his while. That's my opinion.
So just so I understand, you think because it's only $70,000-something, it's not worth it because why? Because he could be making more money doing something else?
Well, because he's not – I don't think he's in a position to up and coming trying to prove himself. He's been there, done that, and I still think, you know, people can look at his numbers, his last season. They can flip it either way how they want to flip it. I don't think he's trying to prove himself. I don't think that's the reason for him to play in that league. I don't believe he needs the money. I don't think it's worth his while to play. He's like, well, how old is he now? 31? I don't really know how old his age is. He might not have a desire anymore.
Yeah, I mean, there is some question about that. That's also been an issue that I've heard tossed around in football circles. In fact, people that I work with who still work in the NFL will say the same thing. There's an actual question about whether or not he still wants to play at that level. He is 31, about whether or not he's going to, you know, he would be able to go through that, about whether or not it's worth all the distraction that would come with it. That's a legit question. I mean, that's something that football teams, especially at the NFL level, consider about every controversial figure, regardless of why there's a controversy, is whether or not it's worth bringing him on board. Now, complete other end of the spectrum, right? Tim Tebow, that whole phenomenon was just outrageous. But there were teams out there that wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole because they didn't want to deal with the circus. Even the Jets, who had him on their roster, wouldn't start him late in the season when they needed a quarterback because, and I have this from sources on the inside, if he won a game, they didn't want to have to deal with all the crap that would come with Tebow leading the Jets to a win. They'd actually prefer to lose a game than have to answer all the questions about Tim Tebow as a quarterback. So NFL teams do deal with that side of it too. Then the fact that he's suing the league, the fact that he's been out of the league since 2016. There are some owners who he's accused of being racist. They're not going to offer him a job either. So there's this whole group of reasons why he's not playing. I personally don't believe every single team is blackballing him, but at this point it's almost more trouble than it's worth. And apparently that's what he thinks about the AAF, is that it's not worth his time.
Yes, I agree. I don't think anyone should be like, I can't believe he had an opportunity to play. He didn't take it. I don't think it's that. I don't think anyone should look at it like that. So that's all I have to say.
Okay, I guess I don't agree with you, because if you really want to play bad enough, if you really want to showcase your skills and have an opportunity to shake off some of the rust, then this feels like a good opportunity on national TV where, you know, NFL scouts are paying attention. But if you don't think it was worth it, then that is certainly an opinion that you're welcome to.
Well, how much do they pay in a CFL?
Wait, why does money have anything to do with it, though? If you really want to play and what you want is to showcase, I haven't heard that Colin Kaepernick's broke. So if he still got some of the millions he made in the NFL, what would money have to do with it?
Well, it always has something to do with it when your health is involved. I mean, I'm assuming CFL will pay more. I don't think it's worth his while. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
I don't feel he needs to prove anything. He's not up and coming. He's proven himself. That's just my opinion.
Well, he proved himself back in 2016, but you know the NFL, like every pro sport, is what have you done for me lately? I mean, that's a matter of fact. It has something to do with Colin Kaepernick. Sean, thank you so much for your call from Atlanta. I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
855-212-4227. I know it's controversial. I don't think there's one simple cut and dried answer or explanation. I think there are a lot of reasons. I don't know if Kaepernick and his team will prove collusion. Apparently, to prove the collusion by NFL owners, you only have to prove that two of them actually work together. So that may not be an extremely high bar. But I think there are teams and general managers and owners out there that no matter, and let's take Kareem Hunt for an example, okay? The Cleveland Browns are willing to take the flack and the blowback for bringing Kareem Hunt on board, because, and they're also willing to wait through whatever suspension takes place with him, because they think he'll help them win football games. So they're willing to, they weighed the pros and the cons, the criticism, the blowback, the fact that they're not going to have him for part of the season more than likely. And they said, you know what? He can still help us win football games. So we're going to take this risk. Well, there are teams out there that if they believe that Colin Kaepernick could help them win football games, I believe they would bring him on board. The issue is that you're thinking about just the football aspect when it's not that simple with Colin Kaepernick, not anymore. Again, there have been accusations. There's a lawsuit. There are all kinds of other distractions that come along with hiring Colin Kaepernick. Whether or not we think it's a big deal, there are NFL teams that don't want to navigate all of that. And I still always go back to the part about him suing the league. I mean, he's trying to get the entire CBA thrown out. So he's suing the owners. And I just don't know how many employees, potential employees out there would get job offers from a corporation that they were suing. Doesn't make any sense to me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.